What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Stirring the Pot Podcast. This is your host, DJ, aka 509 Reasons. And we're back with another one. It's been a long time, it's been a while. I was trying to rap and it's not happening, but let me respect the day and not come here with my foolery. Today is Juneteenth, the newest official U.S. national federal holiday, which means if you have a federal job, if you get salary, you get paid time off for this holiday. Juneteenth, June 19th, 2021, we celebrate the first Juneteenth nationwide. So shout out to everybody who's been fighting for so long for this day. It is finally here, and y'all get to reap the benefits of your labor. So Juneteenth, aka Jubilee Day, aka Freedom Day, aka Black Independence Day. Those are the other names for it. Juneteenth is the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States of America. So big bravos to that. It's dope. It's dope. We finally get to celebrate it on a national level. The one good thing about Juneteenth being a now national holiday is the fact that now conversations can be had. There's people who did not know about this day. Even black folks who didn't know about this day. The good thing about it is the fact that we can have conversations about what happened, what is going on, and what we can do to resolve all the problems that we are facing today as black folks in America and America in general. We have to have this conversation about America's past in order for us to go forward and be better people overall. All right, so that's the good thing about Juneteenth. So big props to President Biden for actually, you know, supporting the cause. I have no savior in this game we call politics whatsoever. I don't care for Republicans, Democrats, but this is a very good first step. This is not the last thing we do when it comes to race relations in America that includes black people. This is the first step. Now we can have conversations, and hopefully those conversations lead to actual actions so we can progress. If everybody is on the same page, America can truly be the best nation on earth. We have no rights to go to other countries and telling people what to do when our house is dirty over here. So let's figure out a way to improve on the stuff that's going on here. Because we have so much. We're still in 2021, still trying to figure out how to be on a level playing field. Because let's be honest, we're not. There's so many injustices, and it's just like pick one. The laws, we get judged differently. When people transgress against us, they get let off easily. Every other day, it seems like there's a police shooting unarmed black folks. And it's not until some weeks ago with Minnesota, he finally got charged for it, you know, because honestly, a lot of us thought he was going to get laid off, but he got charged for it. But that was a good first step to holding others accountable for transgressing against us. We just want the same way we're judged. We want everybody to be judged on the same playing field, same level field. That's it. And we want the same opportunities as well. Job opportunities to get loans to start up our businesses or get homes. We want the same opportunities. Straight up, that's it. So when it comes to Juneteenth, when you know better, you do better. You have to talk about the past, and so that way we don't make the same mistakes and we can improve on what has happened back then so we can do better going forward. That's the whole point of talk about the past, right? But it seems like they threw us a bone with this one too, right? So as much as people want to celebrate, I'm not celebrating too hard about it. It's cool that we got here. But there's other things that need to be addressed. Let's figure out reparations. Reparations is an uneasy talking point, I guess, depending on who's listening to it. But it depends on what you're trying to do with them dollars. I believe African Americans who've gone through slavery, their families have gone through slavery, they are owed reparations. People will be like, where are we going to find this money to pay these black folks? We always find money from somewhere to do anything you want to do, whether it be wars and other BS. We always find the money. But let's not think about it as giving African Americans money. Let's think of it as an investment. Because in order for this to be the greatest country on the planet, everybody needs to be healthy and wealthy, right? So let's invest in our communities of color. Let's invest in our African-American communities, our black communities, right? We want better schools. I'm not saying to give everybody money. Let's put money in our schools. Our schools are shutting down. Let's put money in our hospitals. Hospitals in poor communities are being left out. They're being shut down. There are people who actually have to go take trips miles on ambulances to get to a good medical facility if it's an emergency, because a lot of hospitals nowadays are privately owned. And if a hospital doesn't see themselves making profit, they shut down that hospital. And these hospitals that are getting shut down are in communities of color. Let's invest in our communities. Let's put money in our schools. Let's put money in our healthcare system. You know, let's educate. Let's gotta finance our education so that way we could do better, right? Better opportunities to work, better job opportunities. People keep saying that black folks is lazy. No, as soon as you see the name Shaniqua on the application, you want to... Is it Jamal? That's what we do with the applications. We throw the application. That's the application is being thrown in the air and being judged just by the name. Could be the same... It could be same as John over here. Same background as far as like education wise and same credit score and everything, clean record. But if you see the name Jamal and John off rip, a person is going to choose John because Jamal, Jamal sound like, I don't know. He sounds questionable just on the name itself, but John, you're comfortable with the name of John. And people do need to understand, black folks do get judged very at the granular level. I don't even have to meet you to be judged. My name, I could kind of get away with it. My name's DJ. People just don't know what that name is. You don't know where, if I'm from Europe or whatever the case may be, you're not going to know what it is until you meet me, or unless you know a lot of like Haitian folks, you don't know that name. But you got people who are being judged by their names and not getting the opportunity to show their talents, you know? So, like I said, equality, man. Reparations would be great. Opportunities to actually own homes, that would be dope, because we all know the greatest way to pass wealth in this country is to pass on property. And let's also keep in mind, when black folks were free and doing their thing, there are particular communities that black folks got kicked out of. black folks owned the property and black folks were moved out of their properties that they owned. Whether it be because they wanted the trees on that land, the government wanted trees on that land, or whatever the case may be, black folks actually had property and they were kicked out of that property, like property they worked for, and they were kicked out of there. So now what are they doing? They're renting, they're in mobile homes, and it's almost like starting from scratch. And that in most cases, that cycle continues. Whereas you got white folks who own property and they get to pass it on from generation to generation. Now you're basically decreasing the debt load, if anything, because now the younger generation doesn't necessarily need to build up wealth to go purchase their own home because they already got their own home. Now they could actually maybe invest in another property, or they could actually invest in a business, their own business. And that's how that wealth, that generational wealth, that's how it increases. All right. So reparations. Give people grants for homes. So that way we don't have to worry about paying rent every month. Maybe we can't save up enough to get the down payment for a house. But if you give us that grant, we could pay that mortgage, because we know in some cases, some mortgages are cheaper than rent. And then from there, now you build that generational wealth. Because now that we have a home, we own a home, the home's value is increasing. Get to pass on that generational wealth to our, you know, to our kids, to our younger ones. Invest in black folks. This is how we get that equal playing field. And let's make sure that these banks is not busting us over the head with these high interest rates as well. Don't tell me Jamal has the same credit score as John. But Jamal's getting a higher interest rate because of where he's from, because of his area code. So it's like getting done in dirty twice. It needs to be addressed straight up. So that's what I was. So when I'm all for reparations. How we go about the reparations, that's a whole different story. But I'm not gonna say I'm for just giving people money, because especially if we have people who are not financially educated and will not know what to do with that money. Invest in the infrastructure, the education, hospitals, or medical systems, and let's get some supermarkets in our communities. These bodegas is cool for a quick snack, or a quick, you know, keep it on the go. But we need some real food in the communities. If we can improve on how we eat, the less we have to rely on some of these medical issues that we have when it comes to high cholesterol and diabetes. Better education on how to eat, how to control money and all that. That's how we do better, right? That's it, you know what I mean? But back to the subject at hand, Juneteenth. It's interesting. You got some Republicans who voted against. Well, it's not interesting. It's interesting that is that number is that low. To be honest with you, you have 14 Republicans who voted against making Juneteenth a holiday, and out of the 14, six of them actually closed their offices. Hey, yo, kid. If you didn't want this to be a holiday, I don't think you should close your office to get you a paid day off. That's not how this works, playboy. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. If you said you didn't want the holiday, take your butt to work. This is insane. Listen, if you racist, you do not get a chance to celebrate the holiday that's for black folks, man. Take your ass to work. It's Black People's Day Off. Black people stay home. working too long to worry about. Go home. Racist, go home, all right? Another thing, right? It's amazing how fast this bill came together. I know they've been working on the bill for years, but the process of how this bill came together so fast is amazing to me, especially on the bipartisan front, as far as Democrats and Republicans coming together to just get this done ASAP. It's like, whoa, that's awesome. It's good to know y'all could do that. So while we're here, there's this thing we're police reform. Because if y'all so adamant about let's celebrating the freedom of African Americans from slavery, how about like let's like save Black lives, right? Black people are dying at a substantially high rate from police encounters. Police are here to serve and protect people and their properties. Enforce laws, enforce safety. Black people are not feeling safe out here in these streets right now. Not with police officers. I don't think you understand, like, the type of anxiety that Black folks have when them police lights come on behind them. It's a real thing. Because you don't know how it's going to turn out. It could be the simplest thing, if anything. Your lights could be out, you don't know it. Whatever, but being pulled over by a police officer is the most nerve-wracking thing, even if you know that you have nothing that you have done wrong. Now, this is not to say that police officers are bad. They are not all bad, but there are some who are. We just want police officers to be held accountable for when they do something wrong. Simple as that. Is that too much to ask for? Be accountable when you do something wrong. It's like when you're at a job and you do something wrong, you have to get reprimanded for it. You get written up, you get enough write-ups, you're out of here. Because you're messing with my bottom line now at this point. You're risking my business going out of business because you're the bad apple. You're messing up my business. If all the good officers could come together to oust these bad cops, that would be great. But obviously, there's a hierarchy. There's a political element to it. You could be blackballed. Maybe held from details, special details where you could make extra money. Benefits or whatnot. It sucks that it's come down to that, you know, that this is the world we live in general. You might know a person is bad, but in order to save my tail personally, I'm gonna fall back. All right, but we need police officers to be held accountable when they do stuff bad to Black folks. The fact that it's taken so long to come up with some type of reform is unacceptable. You could come up with this Juneteenth holiday thinking that Black folks are going to shut up about it. Not happening. This is, like I said from the beginning, this is just the first step. We have a whole lot more to discuss about this situation with Black folks in America. Can't speak for anybody else. I just could speak for me personally or for Black folks personally. We have a long ways to go. And police reform is one of the ways we need to go address. Straight up. If you're caught acting up on a job, you get reprimanded. You have an encounter with somebody in the public without your camera on, You get reprimanded. You have no excuse for your camera to not be on. The whole point of your camera being on your person is for it to be used for your safety and the other person's. And if your camera is off, I'm gonna assume that you're doing some, I almost cuss, some foolery. And you gotta pay for it. Unless you have a super duper legit excuse for your camera not working, must be some type of malfunction, it's too hot outside, or it got wet, I don't know. Your camera is off and you had an interaction in public and that interaction went wrong, you are getting reprimanded. Straight up. The reason the bad apples get to move the way they move is because they fear no consequence. When you don't have consequence, you get to move the way you want freely. And that's an issue. Law and order is what keeps people from doing harm to others. I mean, for the most part, because you always, at the end of the day, are going to have deviants who are going to break the law, who are going to hurt people. But for the most part, we don't go whoop the neighbor's butt because we know that there's a chance that we're going to get arrested. And who wants to deal with that? Right? The same way we don't go whoop the neighbor's butt, even though they're pissing us off. A crooked police officer should not be able to just do what he want because he fears no consequence. Straight up. So at the end of the day, police officers are people and we want them to be treated as such. When you do something wrong, you get to go to trial or court or whatever the case may be. You go through the facts, go through the evidence. And at the end of the day, that's how your story will be played out. If it seems like there's wrongdoing, you gotta pay for it. Reprimand, termination, whatever the case may be. And if you're not, you're back on the job. At the end of the day, you get paid time off anyways, right? But we need to see more police officers being held accountable for their actions. You get caught wrong, your benefits is out of here, give me your gun and badge, and that's it, you're done, you're out of here. And if you do anything crazy, you're going to jail. And we all know that it's not a good look to have a police officer in prison. Well, that there you go, that's another deterrent. You better not be doing anything bad to go there. We don't want you to go in there either, but if you do something bad, you know where you're going. Sorry, not sorry. Straight up. And the other thing I got is, why are the lawmakers in these certain states, or mostly southern states, passing laws to make it harder to vote when there's no evidence of widespread rigging of the election? We keep hearing about the security of the election and we keep hearing that this is the most secure election that we've ever seen. But yet, conservative lawmakers are passing laws to make it harder to vote. And the places that it'll affect mostly are places of high percentages of black folks. They're even making it illegal to give you water if you're in the line waiting to vote. And mind you, it could be hot as heck outside. The sun is beaming. But no, do not give them water now. That is now illegal. Tell me how that has anything to do with the security of the election, kid. Right? If anything, we should be making voting more accessible to people. Because we never really have 100% of people who are eligible to vote. If you want to keep it out, like, you know, keep it 100. I don't know what the numbers are, but we don't ever have 100% voting turnout. Probably probably ranging from somewhere between 60-80% of the eligible voters actually coming out to vote. Why do people not vote, other than people who don't necessarily believe in politics? Why do people who are eligible do not vote? Some people have to work. Some people have to find childcare. Some people don't have access to transportation. So instead of finding ways to solve those particular problems, they're actually adding on to it. They're voting. They're cutting down on the early voting days. Need particular IDs to vote. And the crazy thing is, in Texas, you can't use your student ID to vote. But if you do have your gun license, your gun license will allow you to vote, but not your student ID. I want you to think about that for a second. How they're prioritizing one thing over the other. Once again, talking to you about accessibility. If I'm a college student and I have a student ID, I should be able to just walk up and get a, you know, be able to vote. But if I have a gun license, and you already know that Texas is a state which is happy to, you know, let them know, like, we got our guns out here, we ready. It's almost like a kick to the gut. Lets you know what they're prioritizing. So the fact that we're taking so much time to find ways to make voting accessible for people of color, this we'll be dealing with. People still suppressing our vote in 2021, guys. They out here cheating in the open so they can get that ticket back. And like I said, I have no size, but look at Republicans doing it crazy, man. They're doing it real crazy. And the last thing to touch on, very last thing to touch on, the 1619 Project. And I'm not too sure if you guys are familiar. The 1619 Project is basically a curriculum put together for students from K through 12. And it's basically to have a dialogue about critical race theory, about how race has played a role in the inception of America, and how race and systematic racism still affects people to this day. It's just there to have a dialogue, right? But we have a senator out of North Carolina, Senator Tom Tillis, who co-sponsors a bill to defund K through 12 schools teaching the 1619 Project. And I was just telling you earlier about how schools need more money, but these guys are so adamant about not wanting to have these conversations, these uncomfortable conversations, where they'll actually take money out of schools when schools need money in the most major way right now. All right. So let me give you a quote from what he says. Quote, I co-sponsored legislation that would prohibit the use of federal funds to teach the 1619 Project in K through 12 schools. Tax dollars should not go towards promoting radical ideologies meant to divide us instead of being used to promote principles that unite us. Unquote. From Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina. The 1619 Project is not meant to divide us. The 1619 Project is meant to have these conversations so that way we don't repeat what has happened in the past. If you don't talk about the past, history is bound to repeat itself. This is why we have history courses. We don't want to make the same mistakes that our ancestors made. The whole point of learning about the past is so we do not make the same mistakes. It's so we learn from them and grow from them and do better. Sure, conversations will be uncomfortable. No, it's not meant to guilt white people. If you have nothing to do with owning slaves or this current day oppressing black folks, then it shouldn't affect you. But you should know that some white folks have privileges based off the history of how America came about. America was built on the backs of black folks. So it's crazy, like, every time there's these laws trying to, like, help black folks, they say black folks too lazy or whatnot. Shoot, if black folks was too lazy, should have left black folks in Africa then. But obviously we know that is not the case. So we need to have this conversation. People need to know that people to this day have benefited from the enslavement of African people. And this is not even an opinion. This is facts. Enslaved people built the country that we are living in today. Labor free of cost, which is basically 100% profit for the slave owners. With that being said, slave owners had plantations, slave owners had homes, which they were able to pass on to their next of kin. Shoot, even the most prestigious schools in this country have roots in slavery. Schools like Harvard, Yale, Princeton. Let me look this up. The story of the American college is largely the story of the rise of the slave economy in the Atlantic world, says Craig Stephen Wilder, a historian at MIT and the author of Ebony and Ivy: Race, Slavery, and the Troubled History of America's Universities. So even the biggest schools, the schools that we consider like Ivy League great, like these are the smartest minds in the country, they're rooted in slavery. And how so, you ask? Early benefactors who gave money to Brown and Harvard, for instance, made their fortunes running slave ships to Africa and milling cotton from plantations in the American South. Georgetown could afford to offer free tuition to its earliest students by virtue of the unpaid labor of Jesuit-owned slaves on plantations in Maryland. At the University of Virginia, founded and designed by Thomas Jefferson, slaves cooked and cleaned for the sons of the Southern gentry. Yale inherited a small slave plantation in Rhode Island that it used to fund its first graduate programs and its first scholarships, Wilder says. It aggressively sought out opportunities to benefit from the slave economies of New England and the broader Atlantic world. I want y'all to like let that seep in real quick. And when I say Yale, when I say Harvard, graduates, close your eyes, and I say Harvard graduate, and what's the picture you get? Do you see a person of color? That's not the first thing that comes to your mind, is it? Like, be honest. So these schools have benefited from slavery. So not only did these schools benefit from slavery, the kids that went to these schools for free got to accumulate wealth, and that cycle continues because they got to accumulate the wealth and pass that on to their next generation and the next generation and so on and so forth. Whereas the black folks, the slaves, the cooks, the ones that cleaned, they could not do that. Once again, let this seep in. So for those who are starting to understand the plight of colored people in America, this is now your opportunity. We're not here. Nobody's here to guilt trip you, all right? What we will say is to use your privilege in all the benefits that you have gained, not to hand it out, but to help others be in a better position to succeed. Help black people be in a better position to succeed. When you see injustice, speak on it. If you see politicians who do not seem keen on trying to make this a better place for all of us, use your privilege to get them the heck up out of the office. And get someone in there who's here to help us all. Because if we really want to make this country the best country in the world, it's going to take everybody being super straight, good, healthy, educated, being able to financially support themselves and others to make this world the best country that we can make it. Do not just sit back and say, damn, that sucks, and then change the channel. No. Stand up, speak on it, make your actions count. Otherwise, you are part of the problem. But like I said, ain't nobody here to guilt trip you from what has happened in the past. But since you do benefit from what has happened in the past, let's figure out how to make this a better future for all of us. Put your hand out. Lift us up. Because we've been climbing for a long time. And the climbing is not fast enough to bring us all to the same level playing field. But that's my 10 cents. And that's all I got for the pot today. So we're going to stir that up, Chef Curry style, with a little hot sauce in it. But I'd like to thank you guys for taking the time out to listen to me today. Hopefully this is something that, you know, will get you to think, get you to move. And be sure to share this with your friends. Check us out on Instagram, Stirring the Pot Talks. Facebook, Stirring the Pot. And hope to catch you on another one very soon. I appreciate you for joining me today. It's an honor. And don't worry, man. We got some more coming soon. I'm going to holler at you. Diddy. Peace in.